Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. It's good to be in your company once more. Union with Christ. Clive Bauscher brings two more talks in this series. Building Christ's Church, Adrian Reynolds on the church leader's role in this vital work. You'll recall that previously Adrian Reynolds showed us that among the different terms used in the Bible to describe the ministers of God's church is the term builder. He directed us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Last time here on Serving Today, he pointed out three important lessons from the use of the builder idea in that passage of Scripture. Well, there's more for us still to learn from this passage, and Ian Flanders is going to talk with Adrian about it for us.
Adrian, what is your fourth lesson that you want to draw out of this passage?
Well, again, in this passage, Paul shows us something else, and he teaches us that the builders need to use good materials. It's not just building on the right foundation, it's building with the right sorts of materials. There are, of course, all sorts of materials you could use to build, but one day, says Paul, it will all be tested, and God will know what you have built with. Let me tell you a story. I had to replace some pipes in my house. When we came to look at them, something was very wrong. The man who had put them in had done a very bad job indeed, and he had used cheap materials. And in fact, when we looked closely, things were worse than we thought. We had to take them all out and start all over again.
They've said that it's possible to build with good materials and bad materials, but what does it exactly mean to build in a good way for Jesus Christ, because we're not actually using physical metals or stones, are we?
No, of course not. I think, Ian, it simply means that we must do the very best we can. Paul talks about using gold or silver. Both beautiful materials, materials that both last and are wonderful to look at. It's all a picture, of course. And what it means is that when we build for Jesus Christ, we must do it with all of our heart. Do it with the very best you have. Hold nothing back. Keep nothing back. It's worth it because it's the best building that you could be involved in. If you were asked to play cricket or football for your country, you would give it everything. You don't think to yourself, well, I'll hold a little bit back so I can play for my village next week. You do the best you can for your country. You do the very best you can. And that's what it should be like when we're building for Jesus Christ.
Well, Adrian, at the start you said you had 5 points to draw out of this text. And if I'm keeping count properly, there's just one left to do. Can you tell us what it is?
Yes, of course. It's a very simple point, but important. And it's to ask this, what is it that we're building? Today we're recording in a very nice building, but at the end of the day, buildings don't really matter. There's not going to be a building in heaven. The only building that matters is one made up of people. Paul explains this in verse 16. He says to the readers, "You yourselves are God's temple, the building." So the building we've been talking about today is all about people. People, people, people. We mustn't get distracted from that. Buildings are helpful. They can keep us dry in the winter, they can keep us cool in the summer, but they are not, at the end of the day, what is important. People are important. If you're going to be a good builder for Jesus, then you need to be building people. They are the living stones, as Peter calls them, of the church. So I want to ask you, are you prepared to be a builder for Jesus Christ?
Now, Adrian, you're going to end each of these programmes with a certain number of questions which will help us to reflect upon what we've heard. Are you going to do that for us now, concerning this picture of builder?
Yes, I've got 3 questions I'd like to ask. And the first is about foundations, and it's this. On what sorts of foundations do people build where you live? Have a think about that. It'll help you challenge yourself. The second question is to ask you, really, to think a little bit more about what it means to use the best materials. And the third question, a very important one, I believe, is this. Why do builders in the church, that's us, forget about people?
In recent programmes here on Serving Today, we've been thinking about union with Christ. We're being helped with this by Clive Bauscher, and we're pleased that Clive is with us again. In the last six talks, we've looked at union with Christ under the heading of life. Clive, could you tell us what the next six talks are going to be majoring on?
Yes, Andrew, the next few talks are taken from the beginning of the farewell discourse in John 13 and 14. And here John shows us more about the kind of love that Jesus continually pours out on those who are in life-giving relationship with him. In the foot-washing scene in chapter 13 of John's Gospel, we learn that the love of the Son deals with our sin and draws near to us. We learn that it's a love that we can lean into, and a love that sends us to bring the love of the Father to the world around us. In John 14, we find that it's a love that is always present, that's known to us by the Spirit, and which we can return to Jesus in love and worship.
Thanks, Clive. And what passage are we going to focus on this time, and what title have you got for us?
This time we're going to focus on Love That Comes Close, based on John chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. John now teaches us about the kind of love that Jesus always gives us as part of the you in me and I in you relationship he has with his own. You see that in verse 1.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
So Jesus, their Lord and Master, gets up from supper and washes his disciples' mucky feet. He serves their practical needs in an act of humility which, when we see it, is both astounding and deeply moving. Verses 4 and 5.
So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped round him.
The Eternal Son knows the divine status he has. Verse 3.
Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God.
And Jesus gets grime in the creases of his hands as he meets people's needs and washes feet. It's astonishing, Andrew, isn't it, when you picture this? Our God is the sort of God who puts his people's immediate interests above his own. In fact, he's the sort of God who sacrifices himself for us. And the foot-washing scene indeed points us towards the sacrificial love that Jesus will show when he dies for us on the cross. Verse 1. This love of the Father and the Son is wonderful and glorious and knowable. Verses 31 and 32.
Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once."
The foot washing, and the cross especially, show us who God is and convince us of his goodness and love, don't they? Have you paused to look and to see again as you picture the foot washing? As you think about Jesus giving his life for you on the cross. Jesus' foot washing also helps us to see that his divine love for us is up close and for real. If you imagine the scene as he goes round and washes the feet of his disciples, this is intimate, involved love, like the love the Father and Son have for one another. But Simon Peter hasn't yet grasped that there's no contradiction between Jesus being Lord and the one who comes close in love. Verses 6 and 7.
He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realise now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
As we look at this foot-washing scene, we realise that this is who Jesus is, and we need to let him close to us.
I hope that you're finding these talks on union with Christ helpful in understanding this wonderful theme. You may want to use it as a basis for preaching from some of the passages in John's Gospel that Clive Bauscher has been explaining to us. And here's Clive once again to introduce the next talk on union with Christ.
Yes, we're going to be looking at love that atones. And this is based on John chapter 13, verses 8 to 10.
Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean."
Jesus is explaining that the washing of his disciples' feet, this act of servant-like love, is a symbol of his people's complete cleansing by his act of self-giving love on the cross. That's verses 8 and 10. This is atoning love.
Yes, Clive, could you explain what atoning love means?
Yes, atoning love means love that brings complete forgiveness and permanent acceptance by God. Remember Jesus' words speaking about his death before in John 6, verse 56.
"The one who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood is lastingly in me and I in him."
That verse is talking about the close relationship of love with Christ that we've been focusing on in all of these talks. It's a relationship of intimate love, isn't it? It's love that atones, that brings forgiveness. It's love that lasts. And without trusting this atoning love and action of Jesus, there's no sharing with him in true life, the life of the age to come. That's what Jesus says, in effect, in verse 8 here, and in John 6, verse 53. It's what Jesus means when he says to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." The person in union with Christ, the person who has this oneness with Christ, is trusting the Lord who has promised always to give himself to them in love. Love that never fails to atone, love that never fails to forgive. And the means or channel of this atoning love is Jesus' death for us on the cross. And the source of this restoring love is the will and the heart of the Father and the Son themselves. And it's really important, Andrew, that we take that on board. The ultimate source of our salvation is the will and heart of the Father and the Son.
And here, Clive, someone might say, "I'm trusting the cross. Isn't that enough?"
Not really, not unless it's a shorthand that they understand very well. Because what we need to be doing is trusting Christ personally. The good news is Jesus himself. Grace is his gift of himself to us.
Our thanks to Clive Bauscher for bringing us these talks on union or oneness with Christ. He'll be back with more on the love that Jesus gives to those who are in that life-giving relationship with him. We trust that you'll be able to join us in our next programme here on Serving Today. Don't forget that you can get in touch with us if there's anything that you would like further help with. The address will be given in just a few moments. So for now, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord keep us in his grace. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.